Well, welcome everybody to the third week of our series called Out of Darkness. There are times when the darkness enters in. Our thoughts, our emotions feel heavy. Distorted thinking takes over, telling us it's no use, it's too late, everything's wrong, you're not good enough, you'll never amount to anything, your best days are behind you, it's all downhill from here. Or maybe you just go through a series of unfortunate events, one bad thing after another, and you think it will never end. But whatever form it takes, when the darkness comes in, it's easy to lose perspective and overlook God's blessings. And that's when the enemy can come in, set up shop, and construct strongholds in our minds. But as we said in the first week of the series, God is a mighty fortress. He is greater than any darkness, stronger than any evil. When the devil tempted Jesus in the desert, he was showing us that the enemy's power is real, but it is not final. It is not final, and he was showing us that we are not powerless, but that with him, with Christ, we have the power to call out the lies, to call out the lies and to cast off evil and to face down the enemy, face down that enemy. And as he said last week, as we heard last week, God sees what we can't. He sees what we can't. He knows that the darkness is only temporary. It's not forever like we think it will be. God knows that just on the other side of that problem, victory is coming. A fresh start is on the way. The darkness is coming to an end. He sees what you and I often can't see, that God's glory awaits us just over the horizon. Now today, in the third week of the series, I want to talk with you about mistakes into miracles. We've all done things we're not proud of, right? Mistakes that we wish we could take back, decisions we regret. But dwelling on those situations only holds us back. It only leads to shame and to guilt. It only leads to shame and to guilt. And thoughts will tell you, these unhealthy thoughts come in and they tell you, you know, you better make sure nobody finds out what you did. You better hide it, because if it becomes public, you know, you're ruined. Your reputation will be finished. You'll lose your job. Your family will walk away. Your friends will leave you. And that's when we start thinking all these thoughts like, gosh, if only I hadn't said this, or if only I hadn't done that, or if only I hadn't gone there, if only I hadn't trusted that person, if only I had made a better choice. And the enemy loves to play these tapes over and over in our minds. But what you have to do is get rid of those if-only thoughts, because they're only holding you back from the life God wants you to have. That if-only trap keeps us stuck in a past that we can't change. It's an unproductive mindset. Instead, put up a no trespassing sign in your mind, and then turn those if-onlys into even-ifs. Even if I made mistakes, God can still forgive me. Even if I have regrets, my life can still move forward. Even if things didn't work out last time, God can still make things right through his grace. The key is remembering that God specializes in rewriting the ending, and he has the power to do that. And every day, he's working behind the scenes to turn our mistakes into miracles. John chapter 4, the gospel story we heard today. Jesus came to a well in Samaria, and this woman came at noon to draw water from the well. That was unusual. The other women would come very early in the morning or very late in the evening when the temperature was cooler. And when Jesus saw the woman, he asked her for a drink. She said, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" The Jews and Samaritans were mortal enemies. They wanted to have nothing to do with each other. But Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who was saying, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman thought, "How can this man give me any water? He doesn't even have a bucket." But Jesus was not talking about ordinary water. He was speaking on a spiritual level. He was offering her the kind of life-giving water that only he could provide. And when she asked him for this water, he said, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him and said, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you are saying is true." What you are saying is true. And now we understand why the woman came to the well at the hottest part of the day. She was avoiding other people. She was ashamed of her mistakes, overwhelmed with guilt from her past, and she knew that if she saw other people, they would treat her with contempt and make her feel second class. The whole town knew her story. They looked down on her. They made fun of her. She had had five husbands, and she was living with a man now. Life had been rough for this lady, and no doubt she had been mistreated and taken advantage of. She knew she had made mistakes. She felt bad enough about herself. She didn't need other people to point it out. She didn't need any more guilt. Jesus did not condemn her. He didn't condemn her. He didn't add to her shame. He didn't chide her, scold her for her choices, tell her she was bad, what she was doing was wrong. Instead, he led her to a life-changing discovery that he'd never shared with anyone else. See, the Samaritans, including this woman, like the Jews, believed in a Messiah, that a Messiah was coming, that one day God would send a great king to save the world. And when Jesus heard this, he said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." The very first time that Jesus revealed his identity as the Messiah was to this woman, a vulnerable, ashamed, shunned woman. Very first time he revealed that to her was to this woman. And she went back into the town, and she told everyone about Jesus. There's a little detail in there that's easily missed. She left her water jar at the well. That wasn't accidental. It's a little detail, but it's not accidental. She left it behind because she didn't need it anymore. And she was leaving behind the guilt and the shame that water jar represented. The passage says, many Samaritans of that town began to believe in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I've done." They asked Jesus to stay. The whole town asked him to stay, and he remained there for 2 days. And the passage says many more began to believe in Jesus. What was he doing there? What was happening in this story? He was turning her mistakes into miracles of faith. I wonder if you've ever felt like that woman at the well, disappointed in yourself, dwelling on past failures. You've made mistakes. Maybe you're not where you think you should be, but God is not displeased with you because of where you are. He just loves you too much to leave you there. The enemy wants you to stay stuck in self-defeating behavior, but God did not create you to live that way. And even when you think it's too late, it's never too late for God. This is what the Israelites learned in the first reading today. They were out in the desert on their way to the promised land. But instead of being happy about their freedom, they grumbled and complained the whole way about the lack of food and water. They said to Moses, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" God had freed them from slavery, but they wanted to go right back into it, right back into that shame. They had lived with it for so long, it's all they knew. And you would think that God would have turned his back on them, right? Gotten upset with the Israelites, walked away because of their ungratefulness. But what did he do instead? He turned their mistakes into a miracle. He told Moses to go over to a nearby rock, and God said, "Strike the rock, and water will flow from it for the people to drink." God specifically told Moses to do this in front of the people. He wanted them to know that he was their source, that he was in control, that their future were in his hands, not the enemy's, that he got the final say, not the darkness. We've all done things that we wish we could erase from our lives, rewrite history, go back in time, and do over again. But no matter what you've done, God can give you beauty for those ashes. He never says, I'm glad you made this mistake, but he does say, I can work with this. I know in my own life, my personal mistakes have allowed me to grow and to become more compassionate with others, more understanding of their situation than I otherwise would have been. And this comes up a lot in confession. People ashamed of what they did in their younger years, they still dwell on it. And they ask me, Father, I know God has forgiven me, but how can I forgive myself? And I tell them, respectfully, you dishonor God when you do not let go of the past. Why? Because when you do not forgive yourself, you are calling into question and you are doubting God's ability to turn your mistakes into miracles. A friend of mine recently shared a painful chapter from her life. She made a decision that carried lifelong consequences. While she was still a teenager, she became pregnant. And for many years, she carried a heavy burden of shame because of it. Her family, her parents reacted with silence and secrecy. And my friend learned early on how isolating regret can be. She was sent to another city to live with relatives, to have the child, and then give that child up for adoption. Well, after that, my friend's life went on. She went on with life. She, you know, work, marriage, family. But that unresolved sorrow never completely left her. And she always wondered about her little baby girl, where she was, how she was doing, was she okay? And then, one day, something unusual happened. And not everyone's story, of course, ends this way. But in her case, God opened a door that allowed healing to begin. After decades, her daughter, then an adult, contacted her out of the blue. A flood of emotions washed over my friend. Fear, joy, anticipation, concern. She had a lot of questions. How would her family react to the news? What would her daughter be like? Would she be angry, resentful? It's easy to worry about the consequences of our mistakes. The enemy says, you blew it. But God says, watch what I can do with this. It's never too late for a miracle. It's never too late for the light to come. My friend now says that meeting her daughter for the first time as an adult was the single biggest blessing in her life. Today, they're like this. They're so close, the whole family is close. What once seemed like an impossible relationship became a source of grace. What once had been shrouded in secrecy and pain became an opportunity for God's mercy and grace to enter in. What was happening there? Once again, God turned my friend's mistake, what she did as a teenager, into a great miracle. The miracle of life and the miracle of a lifelong relationship with her daughter. Are you living with regret like that woman at the well? Do you keep going back to the same sources of shame like those Israelites wanting to go back into Egypt? Do you keep wondering what your life would have been, how it would have turned out if you hadn't made that mistake? Don't let the enemy keep you in suspense. Don't let the darkness hold you in unhealthy guilt. If God can turn a broken woman into a witness for Christ, if God could bring forth water from a rock, if God could bring healing to my friend where there once was only pain, he can also bring you out of the darkness, whatever darkness you are facing. As St. Paul says in today's second reading, God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What is that? Once again, what is that? That's a miracle out of our mistakes. And that's why shame will never have the last word. And that's why darkness will never determine the ending. Only God's love will. The enemy may use your past to accuse you. This is your fault. You deserve it. But God will use your past to anoint you. Your mistakes are not how your story ends. They are actually a setup for a great miracle.